This is the GOAT Level Podcast with your host, the GOAT, the legend, the hero, Van Pugh.
All right, one more thing when it comes to the bird. It is absurd that I celebrated the Cowboys' victory. I was ready to dance, ready to sing. I couldn't stop smiling. My spirits were lifted. I wanted to take over the world. And then the Eagles played the next day. And it was sadness, depression, tears. Well, I didn't cry, but I wanted to. It was all doom and gloom. I fell down to my knees when the law came. In the words of Little Dirk, I was sick. I couldn't believe it. I should have been prepared for it. Because remember when the Cowboys got blown out by the Bills? I was all happy. I was enjoying it. And then the Eagles choked against the Seahawks. Same thing. I felt like whole December and January was like that. Every time the Cowboys lost a big game, Eagles choked. Sick. Still mad. But I got a message for my NFC's rivals. Cowboys, okay, we're kind of even. We laughed at you getting destroyed at home in the playoffs, and then you laughed at us getting destroyed on the road in the playoffs. We're even. And we're both bringing back our coaches even though we wanted them fired. Now you, congratulations. Because Dak has taken such a leap forward, your ceiling is the conference championship. I said your ceiling is the conference championship. A step up from the second round, but still will end in disappointment if you don't make some changes. Some of them people you added, like Cooks, Gilmore, maybe some people on aspiring contract. It's going to be like the Eagles. Some of them veterans you got on short deals and expiring contracts, some of them going to be gone. So you better pick up the right people. You better draft the right people because I think you got something special with Dak and CeeDee Lamb. I'm keeping it real. I'm still mad you have CeeDee Lamb. I will say that to this day. I will say that. I will go to the grave with that, that I'm mad that the Cowboys had CeeDee Lamb. And I'm really mad that he's wasting his all-pro talent. Okay, he's using his all-pro talent there. But this guy is so good, he could go win a ring on another team. Like, if this guy was, I was going to say on the bird, but maybe on, like, a different team. What other team could have got him around that time? Like, if he was on the Chiefs. See, he's on the Chiefs. He had a ring by now. The Chiefs could have got him. Sick. I'm sick that the Cowboys got him, but that's not the point. Point is, your ceiling is the conference championship. Even with a Dak Prescott who's at his peak. Now, how long can he stay at his peak? Even at his peak, if the team around him crumbles, it ain't gonna matter. But, you know, you got your coaches back, and yet I don't see you going to the Super Bowl next year. I just don't. Now, let's get to the Giants. The Giants, yeah, you beat us. Yeah, you destroyed us. Yeah, you exposed us a little more. Yeah, you hurt A.J. Brown. But how many times are you going to play awful in September, October, and parts of November? And then show up in December and January when it's too little, too late. You just like the Saints. You go into the offseason with optimism, but we don't know who your quarterback is going to be. Oh, if it's going to be Daniel Jones, I mean, I guess he's all right, but it ain't going to matter. You lost Wink Martindale. Better hope you have a good replacement. I don't believe in you. So, shut it. I don't want nothing from you. Cool, you won your Super Bowl at the end of the season beating the Burt. But you have nothing to celebrate. Just in case y'all want to talk. I haven't heard too much from Giants fans, but just in case. Just in case. I'm still mad we lost to y'all, even though it was a somewhat meaningless game. I'm still mad we lost, and hopefully the Bird gets that revenge back in blood. Now let me talk to the Commanders. Man, y'all got plenty to celebrate. Second seed. Y'all wish. You got the second overall pick. That's great. You got a lot of cap room. That's great. You just hired a GM from the 49ers front office, and the 49ers have been pretty much the gold standard in the NFC outside of the Eagles. They've been the gold standard in the NFC the last 5 to 6 years, and he's been there since 2020. So it looks good on paper. And you got a quarterback. Just in case you don't take a quarterback, you got a nice young quarterback to work with. You got some offensive weapons to work with. I don't know what you're going to do about that defense. But they were terrible. They fell off. So, listen. You still only had 4 wins. All that is great, but I got to see it on the field like always. It looks good on paper. I don't know who you're going to hire. It looks like Ben Johnson, but who knows? It looks good on paper, but I got to see it on the field. And until you do that, you're going to have to put your left hand down and know your role.
Facts.
I'm starting that already. Getting Caleb Williams would be a great story. He's a hometown kid. And apparently my youth football coach coached against them. And that's a rival team back in the day, Watkins. Apparently he played with them. Played against them back in the day too. Matter of fact, beat them to go to the championship 1 year. He went to Gonzaga. That's a rival high school of mine. Beat them my senior year. First time in, like, years. First time in, like, a decade we beat them. But when Caleb Williams there, he dominated McNamara. Okay, whatever. Okay, he went to OU. That was great. He was awesome. And then USC. I mean, he went with Lincoln Riley, and that just pissed all of Sooner Nation off. Or most of them. Anyway, that's not the point. It'd be a great story, but you ain't getting them. And even if you do, are you sure he's not going to be like the other number two picks that you've gotten? Like, especially the last two. Your number two picks are like fireworks. They shoot up in the air. They pop up. They're all exciting. And then they fizzle and disappear. Just like fireworks. Sure, you can blame coaching and injuries. That is a part of it. But if these guys are really the truth, they would have made it work. They would have made it work, but they didn't. They were good players, weren't great players. I'm just saying. Now, speaking of number two picks from the Commanders and coaching, dog, RG3, Jay Gruden, and kind of B. Mitch is in a Twitter beef. B. Mitch kind of done with it. Like, after that first day when he went back and forth with Jay Gruden, he was just like, yeah, I'm done with it. I don't need to do this. I don't got time for this. Cool. He eventually took the high road. But Jay Gruden and RG3 have been going on and on the past few days. Man, come on, man. This all started because Jay Gruden was making an accurate assessment of the Eagles. We didn't know how to stop the zero blitz. And he was like, if I ever put you in that position, I apologize. And of course, RG3 felt like he was put in that position. He was like, oh, I know you ain't just say that based on our experiences. And of course, Jay Gruden was like, you weren't prepared, Robert. I think he meant to ask that as a question. You weren't prepared? Like, we prepared you. Like, you weren't prepared? But I think RG3 took that as a statement, or maybe it was a statement that you weren't prepared. Okay, so RG3 took that as a statement and was like, okay, you weren't prepared. You weren't able to handle my skill set, and you weren't able to build an offense around my skill set, even though Jay Gruden said on the radio that they tried to mix his offense and stuff from Shanahan's offense to make it work. And it's just only so much, so many times you can run zone read and read options. I mean, yeah, that's a valid point. But B. Mitch came out of nowhere and said, really? Dude, disappear. And then Jay Gruden said, I are a punt returner. I think he meant you were a punt returner. Be quiet. Hey, he killed him with that one-liner. He destroyed him with that one-liner. That was a hit, right? That was a haymaker. I'll credit B. Mitch to saying, I was better at my jobs, at all of my jobs, than I was at yours. You can argue that. That's a good argument. That's a good comeback. But it don't hit as hard as that one-liner. He came with that right hook, boy. It landed, boy. That was a good one. Even though B. Mitch is second all-time in all-purpose yards and should be in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. Most of us can agree with that. But still, like, Jay Gruden killed him. He killed him with that line. I'm sorry. But Jay Gruden and RG3 have just been trading back and forth tweets or X's. And at one point, Jay said, you just weren't as good as Kirk Cousins and all those teams after the Commanders didn't want you. And he kind of doubled down on that on the Grant and Danny show. But he did a better job of explaining it instead of with all these, you know, short one-liners and to-the-point paragraphs. And that's just how Jay Gruden is. If you listen to him on Grant and Danny, he is very authentic, very witty, and just down to earth. Like, he's very authentic. He say whatever he feels. Like, he is not going to sugarcoat anything. And he is hilarious when he wants to be. You know what I'm saying? He's just one of one. He is hilarious. I'm kind of taking RG3 side on this because I'm like, but then again, RG3 did interject himself into, you know, he did kind of like blow this up by commenting on something that had nothing to do, well, had very little to do with him. I mean, it kind of had something to do with him, but he wasn't trying to take a shot at Robert. He was just commenting on the Eagles. But I'm kind of leaning towards RG3's side because it's just, man, I felt like he really took shots. But then again, I don't know. Now that I think about it, maybe I should take Jay's side because he's just honest. He's being honest. But RG3 is too. And we're just hearing all the stories about what happened. But we don't know what was true on RG3's side, but on Jay's side, I mean, we kind of saw it in real time that Kirk Cousins was better for that offense. He just was. But that doesn't mean RG3 wasn't a good player. He was. You know what I'm saying? And could they have used more of Shanahan's concepts to make Robert comfortable? But at the end of the day, there's a reason why you hired Jay Gruden, because he weren't winning. So they had to change something. I get it. But, I mean, at first I was like, man, Jay just wilding. He drunk, man. He going too hard, man. He doing too much. He ain't had to go in on Robert like that. He had to go in on RG3 like that. Like, he was just, you know, RG3 was just trying to, like, correct him and remind him on some things, trying to make him be aware of what he was saying. But whatever. I spent a lot of time on this. At the end of the day, no matter whose side I take, it was very entertaining, and I'm absolutely loving it. And also, the Eagles players are sticking up for their coach, especially Fletcher Cox. They're all sticking up for Sirianni, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, Jalen Hurts. They haven't said one bad thing about Sirianni. That's their guy, and I feel like they're family. And the players take responsibility and accountability for how they played. They're not going to sit up here and blame the coaches. So that's why when they hear about Sirianni possibly getting fired, they take offense to that. I get it. They're sticking up for their guy, even though the fan base and the media kind of want him gone. So I get it. But that's entertaining too, watching them stick up for their coach and how they're saying it, how they're aggressively doing it. I love it. I don't know, man. I just want things to change. Whether we keep Sirianni or not, what happened at the end of the season just can't happen next year. We got to get back to being the bird. We got to make people respect the bird. And that is the word. All right, now, the whole reason why I made a whole nother episode for part two is to get to the stuff that wasn't football, but I spent a lot of time on football. Wow. Anyway, Sooner basketball. Might as well start with the women. I need to watch them more, but they have only lost one game in conference play, and that was to Kansas State. No shame in that. They only have one loss. I'm pretty sure to this point, Kansas State only has one loss, and that was to Iowa, a team who they beat. Yeah, I don't know. They split. Iowa State and Kansas State split. Iowa and Kansas State split. So, Caitlin Clark, Ioka Lee, one of one top talent in women's college basketball. Yeah, no shame in that. No shame in the Sooners losing to Kansas State during a roll this season. They just are. So, hopefully they beat them when they come to Norman, but we'll see. I mean, this might be a freight train that we're not going to stop this year. We might just have to get them next year when they lose some of that talent. But no shame in that. Other than that, they've won every conference game. I want to see how they do against Baylor in Texas. But other than that, I feel like they should handle the Big 12. They're doing great so far. And I love it. This is awesome. Hopefully I catch up and, you know, get to know this team. Kind of like I'm kind of getting to know the OU men's basketball team. But I guess I got to talk about the Kansas game. I hyped this game up. I hyped this game up for a year since I went to Kansas City a year ago. I went to Kansas City. I saw us go up 10 at the Fog. At Allen Fieldhouse with 5 minutes to go and somehow lose by 8. I think we lost by 8. Something like that. I don't know, but it was a devastating loss. 2 years in a row, devastating losses. And the Sooners were going to the SEC. This is our last chance to win at Kansas. And the first half looked just like the other two games. It looked just like it. It's like we do just enough to make it a 1 or 2 point game at halftime. I mean, these guys were right there. They took the Kansas, you know, body blows and haymakers at the beginning, and they were hitting timely shots. Uzan was doing what he wanted to. The guards were really quick. Godwin and some of our bigs were getting tough rebounds and tough buckets. Yeah, there were some questionable calls on both sides, especially on their side. It always happens when we go there. But then the second half, see, during the first half, even though it was close, I knew Hunter Dickerson was going to be a problem, and we had zero answer for him. Fine. He was a problem the second half. Kelvin McClure Jr., he started off slow that game. He took off, of course. He had 21. Of course he did. He's the leading scorer in the Big 12. Of course he got his. And it's just, but what really disappointed me was the last 10, maybe 15 minutes or so, I say definitely the last 10 minutes or so, we couldn't get a bucket. We couldn't get a rebound. We kept turning the ball over. Kansas barely turned the ball over. And that was our undoing. Too many bad shots, too many turnovers, too many easy buckets on the other end for them. And I was very disappointed how we finished that game. And I wanted that game. I was very disappointed that we didn't get it, that we didn't win, and we lost by double digits. Gotta be kidding. Thankfully, they came back and they beat West Virginia. I think they won another game after that, but they beat West Virginia, and I'm happy about that. I think the West Virginia game was the next game. Glad they did that. Now let's get back on track. I'm sure we play Texas soon. I'm sure we play Oklahoma State soon. At UCF is dangerous because UCF at home knocked off Texas and Kansas. And I don't know if they played Houston at home yet, but they'll probably give them a game. That's a tough place to play. That's a tough place to play. And we got to go there on February 3rd. Oh, boy. Hopefully, I mean, we got a solid team. And still ranked. So, I could see them going to UCF and winning, but I could also see them going there and losing. Because going to UCF is dangerous, like going to Iowa State. We'll see. But one thing is for certain. This is a better team than last year. A more well-put-together team than last year. Or maybe it's about put together the same, but the execution is better and we got quicker guards and better playmaking guards. And Uzan is a great wing. So, or a good wing. But like I said on TikTok, I'm not sure how either of these teams, men and women basketball, are going to do in the tournament. I feel like, at least on the men's side, there's just something missing. And in big games, on offense, you get kind of stagnant and too guard reliant. And they, you know, take all these tough shots and they start missing. And it's just tough. So hopefully, oh, and I like Owe too. He's always been a good player. Another one of our athletic wings. Hopefully these guys do continue to get better, and in the tournament they show up and play well. They definitely have the tools to make a tournament run. They got a good bench. They can shoot well sometimes, and they got really quick guards that can take over the game. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see. We just got to see. Okay. I can't believe I never talked about this Ryan Rollins thing. So apparently he was stealing from Target, because when they let him go, I didn't understand why. Because the Wizards are terrible. They still don't have double-digit wins. Matter of fact, I got Fox Sports 1 on. They about to flash the Wizards record right about, not now, very soon. Look at that. The Hornets 8-30. The Wizards 7-33. The Pistons 4-37. And guess what? They lost to the Pistons. The Pistons got their fourth win on the Wizards. But I'm about to get to that really soon. Ryan Rollins. Come on, man. I heard he stole a bunch of stuff from Target. Like, I don't know, like clothing and body wash and the type of stuff I'd buy from the dollar store. Or, you know what? I do shop for stuff like that at Target. But I get my body wash in the dollar store. But that's not the point. This dude's making at least six figures. Apparently, he's making like $1.6 million. Why was he stealing from Target? That was why he got released from the Wizards. Because the Wizards, all season, was bringing Ryan Rollins back and forth from the Capital City Go-Go, our G League team, to the Wizards. Back and forth, him and Baldwin. And he's a talented guy. So, I mean, love watching him play in Summer League. Why was he stealing from Target?
What?
It was either for the thrill of it, or he just felt like he could get away with it. And it's just better off to not pay if you don't have to. Even if you have the money, why bother paying if you don't have to? That had to been his mindset. It's the same mindset of people who hop the gate at metro stations.
Come on, man.
It's easy, and you feel like you can get away with it, and no one's going to check you about it. But apparently, I guess what I found out in Instagram comments is these stores will let you shoplift and, you know, build up evidence against you, have all this tape piled up against you, and then when they're ready, they're going to hit you with it, and then you're going to be in jail or you're going to, like, have to pay a hefty fine or something. And that's what happened to Ryan Rollins, and he is off the team. Come on, man. You know, the Wizards are turning into a bigger joke than the Washington sitcom, I mean the Commanders.
Hey, he got cooked. Hey, you-
oh, God. Just terrible. Joke of a team. And it doesn't help that on Martin Luther King Day, because the Wizards play on every Martin Luther King Day, and usually they win. But this time they lost to the worst team in the league.
Damn!
These Bamas lost by 13 to a team getting its fourth win. You have got to be kidding me.
It's a complete crap.
Sure, the Pistons came out firing, especially Jaden Ivey had like the team's first 8 points. And then I think it was Denny Avia came out hot. And I think so did Kuzma. And then second and third quarter, it was Poole and Tyus Jones. Even Baldwin was getting buckets. The problem is, we got rebounded by 20. You got to be kidding me. Now, we just made a trade with the Pistons, like 1 or 2 days before that, for Marvin Bagley. And we sent back Danilo Gallinari and Mike Muscala, two huge veterans. That, you know, they play minutes, but they play significant minutes, but they're not making that much of a difference. And they're aging veterans. We get a young Marvin Bagley, and he has potential. He still has potential. He's still somewhat young. But back to the game, bro, we still can't stop anybody. And it wasn't even just Jaden Ivey. He kind of cooled down until the fourth quarter. Alec Burke couldn't miss. He had 32.
Damn!
When is the last time you heard of Alec Burke getting 32 points? It took us to the second half to even get a hand in his face. Defense is complete crap.
It's a complete crap.
And can't stop a rolling water bottle. You got to be kidding me. Jalen Duren, of course he had a double-double. Of course. Killed us. Bullied us down low. Isaiah Stewart, bullied us. Who else? James Wiseman, he was in the game. Bullied us. Terrible how they got bullied down low. And it didn't help when Gafford got hurt. It's just a very disappointing game. Cade Cunningham didn't even play. Just imagine if he did. It would have been even worse. Couldn't stop these guys at all. You've got to be kidding. Alec Burke getting 32 is ridiculous. That had to have been his career high. Because there's no way. You've got to be 32 off the bench, bro. These guys are terrible. And it's embarrassing. Now, I will give them credit for responding and going to New York, a team that has dominated them, I think, three times this season and in the preseason. They went to New York and played a very competitive game, but we fell short because, of course, we couldn't guard Jalen Brunson. Not many people can, but I know this team can't. It's just tough, man. It's tough being a Wizards fan, but I guess I'm going to keep watching the games. I'm going to keep paying attention, but, man, this is cap. This is all, man, this is all cap like the hockey team. Can't believe these guys cap like they want to win. Terrible. It's all cap. Can't stand it. Hopefully one day we're back in the playoffs and maybe one day we're back in the finals like the 70s. But we'll see, man. Even my backup team loafing, the Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks got a losing record and they about to trade DeJounte Murray. Even the Wizards blew them out. They really struggling. Now, they did take all their frustrations out on the Spurs. You know, I like that. But they loafing. They've been getting punished lately. And it's a shame. And then the Wizards trash too. Should I bandwagon another NBA team? You know what? I'm not. I'm not going to bandwagon another NBA team. Even though I could go back to the Thunder. I like what they're building. And they're the second seed in the West. I could go back to them. However, I'm not. But, you know, they're my third favorite team. No. They're my third favorite team. So I'm cool with that. This is their year. This is my third favorite team year. So that's fine. When it comes to the Wizards and the Hawks, I'm just going to have to endure it. I'm just going to have to endure the suck. And hopefully they come out on the better side. Hopefully the Hawks build around Trey and quit playing around. And hopefully the Wizards just build something. Because I don't know what this is. Anyway, the Washington Spirit. I mentioned it on TikTok, but the Washington Spirit. So there was a draft. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know it happened in January. But, you know, I've been a Spirit fan since, 2019? I first found out about them in, 2017, 2018, when I was working for DC United? I start going to games in 2023, and once I went to one game, I went to like five more. I love what I saw, and I quickly fell in love with the team, specifically, specifically, Sam Staub, Ashley J. Lo Sanchez, Trinity Rodman, but definitely those three. Let's just stop there. Definitely those three. Even Mariama. Oh my God, what was her name? I forgot her last name, but it's on my YouTube page when I did that video about her. Yeah, I liked her too. I was a fan of her too. But that became my team, man. I loved them, and they were doing better than DC United, and then. All of a sudden, I mean, at one point, they were number one in the NWSL. That was their peak. And then they started losing. And then we had the World Cup break. And we started playing a lot of young players. And then we was losing before the break, right? We was losing before the World Cup. We was losing before the World Cup. And then got the young players. We didn't win anything while our stars were away. And then they came back, and we just alternate wins and losses, and then we just kept losing at the end. And then they somehow went from first to not making the playoffs. Sick, disappointed, very disappointed. It broke my heart. All they had to do was win one game in that last week, and they would have been in playoffs. You know what? It wasn't as bad as a collapse as the Eagles, but it hurt me almost about the same. So they have a draft. And out of the blue, they trade Sam Staub for the number 3 pick.
Come on, man.
Man, no way. that was my favorite player. I'm like, man, what are they doing? I know. We didn't make the playoffs, and we got to do something. Shout out to Michelle King. I'm just leave it at that. I ain't wanna say something that make me look down bad. But anyway, traded her for the number 3 pick, and I think maybe another pick or two to the Chicago Red Stars, one of the teams that beat us on the way to our collapse. Okay, kind of mad about that. Then the hits keep coming. We traded Ashley Sanchez, one of our best players, another one of our best players, arguably our best midfielder. I think she was our best midfielder, if I'm not mistaken. Now, NWSL fans and Washington Spirit fans, you can correct me on this. I'm still kind of a casual, but I'm pretty sure she was one of our best players and our best midfielder. Traded her for a top 10 pick and then maybe some other compensation, but definitely a top 10 pick. So we get some kids. I have no clue. I have no idea who they are. But apparently they're good. I think we had 3 top 10 picks. I hope they're good. We got 2. And we got some picks outside the top 10. We got 2 girls from Clemson. We got a girl from Penn State. I hope they good, bro. I really do, because y'all traded away my faves. Now, we still got Trinity Rodman. We still got Aubrey Kingsbury. But I think we still got Ashley Hatch. I got to look at the whole roster. But we lost 2 of my faves. We lost our best defender, I'm pretty sure, and our best midfielder. For some young players I know nothing about. I hope this works out, because that worries me. If it works out, because Trinity Rodman's only like 21, and she's already one of the best players in the league. If this works out, with me barely knowing anything about soccer, but kind of having a general knowledge about, you know, roster building and stuff, this could be a youth movement that rivals the Oklahoma City Thunder. And if that's what happens, oh, we're going to win the title within the next 5 years. If this works out. If it doesn't, well, I don't know. We're just going to struggle to make the playoffs the next 5 years. And Trinity Rodman's going to be gone. I don't know whether she'll be in the NWSL or she'll be overseas in Europe, but she'll be gone. But while we have her, got to capitalize, and we got to put as much talent around her as possible. But I guess we got some younger talent compared to Sam and Ashley, who were a little bit older. They were really good, though. They were older. And you got some youth movement, and hopefully they're really good. If they're really good, it's a wrap. And we might win 2 titles or so. But if not, I'm going to be devastated. And the teams they traded Ashley and Sam to, they're going to punish us. Hopefully that doesn't happen. Anyway, I'm still going to go to the games because I love it. And they have great promotions, Washington Spirit. They have great promotions, so I would love to go watch them play, regardless of how the team looks. I don't know what these young players are going to do, but we'll see. I already talked about the Washington sitcom. I already talked about them. Okay, it's time to get to Monsi Bolaños. Cool. It might be Bolaños. It's probably that. I think that's how you pronounce it. But she's better known as the woman that came up with the often ridiculed and controversial term called quarterbacky.
Come on, man.
Come on now, Monsi. What was that? Or is it Monse? Anyway, what was that? But, you know, after kind of hearing her out and thinking about it a little more and seeing some of the stuff she said to support argument, she said that Lamar Jackson had multiple zero touchdown games, and he did. He had 3 0 touchdown games. She also said, I don't know if it was on the X or YouTube or even on the radio, she said that Lamar Jackson, she just don't think he's a great pocket quarterback. She thinks he's just a good athlete, not a good quarterback. And honestly, that is, to me, is an outdated take. But a lot of people have said that. There are people that are still saying that. But ultimately, why she said he wasn't quarterbacky enough for me is because of this MVP talk. Now, I think Lamar Jackson is going to win the MVP, because it makes no sense to get an MVP to Dak, Tua, Josh Allen, or Christian McCaffrey. Because let me tell you why. Dak didn't show up in big games. Got the stats, didn't show up in big games. Tua got the stats, didn't show up in big games. Josh Allen, too many turnovers. Christian McCaffrey, if you take Brock Purdy away, he's not as effective. I'm just saying. But you could give it to Christian McCaffrey. Of course he has stats. But that's why Lamar Jackson's going to win. His team is number one. He showed up in the biggest stages. He may not have the touchdowns. He only had like 20-something touchdowns. Compared to all the people ahead of him, got at least 30. They got at least 30. But you got to include his rushing yards. He went crazy doing that too, and he got rushing touchdowns. But, you know, he had a perfect passer rating game and a huge game for the number one seed. Case closed. And also, he beat the 49ers, the team they might see in the Super Bowl. He showed out against them. That's MVP worthy. But she basically, back to Monsi Bolaños, she basically said what Richard Sherman said.
Facts.
Richard Sherman's take about Lamar not having the stats to be MVP went viral. Not as viral as quarterbacky, but she kind of described her take. Well, it was kind of described in one word. Like, Sherman just had the argument laid out. He did a better job of explaining that argument. But he basically was like, he don't have the stats. And I think with Monsi, it's just you combine what she thinks about Lamar as a quarterback, combine that with his stats compared to the MVP candidates who she thinks are better quarterbacks and have better mechanics, you get a term like quarterbacky. We shouldn't be too hard on her. There are people saying the same things. It's just, you know, the messenger is different. I mean, she's a woman. She's not as well known. And it's a term that can be seen quarterbacky. It could be seen as dismissive, kind of disrespectful to Lamar Jackson as a player, as a quarterback. And some people see it as racist because it just, in their mind, the narrative of black quarterbacks is not as good or is not as polished as white quarterbacks just popped up in their head. Just like that. Because you said that term. Because you said that dismissive and dividing, this divisive term, or if that's the word, because you said that. But shouldn't be too hard on her, because too many people have said that, and especially Richard Sherman. Also made me think of Shannon Sharp when he said Jameis Winston should be cut for scoring a touchdown instead of taking the knee at the one, even though they wanted to give Jamal Williams a touchdown because he hadn't had a touchdown all year because he's been hurt, he's been grinding, and he had a tough season. So it was good to finally get him a touchdown after what he'd been through all season. No problem with that. And the whole offense came into agreement that they wanted to do that. And in the locker room and in the media, in the interviews and press conferences, they backed him up and they backed Jameis up on that. There was a bunch of people saying the same thing Shannon Sharp said. It's just that Shannon Sharp became the face of it because he has the biggest microphone. He has the biggest following, and he was the loudest. That's why they really came after him for that. Even though there are a bunch of people, especially blue checks, that were saying they would cut Jameis Winston today, like if they were the coach. A bunch of people said that. We just giving too much heat to some people for some takes that everyone else had. Like, seriously, like, there's just, that's the great thing about sports debate. Like, there are different opinions and there are different sides to the story. There's different perspectives to a certain player and a certain team and stuff. That's what makes it so great. Man, y'all just going too hard on these folks for these takes. When thousands and thousands of people said the same thing. So, you could say I'm simping for Monsi Bolaños. Why can't I get her name right? You could say that. I mean, she is attractive. But I just thought about it because y'all kept throwing that clip in my face about her saying quarterback. And I was like, one day I was like, let me see what she's talking about. Let me see the whole clip. Let me see what she means. Yeah, I disagreed with her, but it wasn't that big of a deal. Like, it's a shame. Y'all crazy, man. Don't worry, Lamar Jackson is going to get his flowers. He's going to get all the awards that he deserves. He possibly is going to win a title this year. I mean, it's okay. He's gonna have critics until he hopefully makes the Hall of Fame. He's going to have critics. He might even have critics then when he makes the Hall of Fame. They're still going to say he wasn't that great of a quarterback. But he still made the Hall of Fame. They're still going to say it. It's just not that big of a deal, bro. Y'all gotta leave her alone. Well, y'all probably have because y'all probably see her as irrelevant now. But what happened is y'all threw that clip in my face so many times. Now I'm checking for the woman. Now I want to see more. Now I want to listen to her show. She got a show with Alex Curry. Alex Curry, you know, the girl that fills in on Colin Cowherd's show sometimes. She got a show with her. I don't know if the show's still going on, but she got a few episodes of that show. And I was listening to it, and it's not bad. So y'all drove me in the opposite direction. At the end of the day, I still love Lamar Jackson and still think he should win the MVP, but y'all drove me towards supporting Monsi Bolaños. What are y'all doing, bruh? Come on, man. Y'all tripping. And last thing, this Taylor Swift thing, I can't believe I'm talking about this again. I was in the camp of, I'm tired of y'all showing her. Y'all show her every 5 minutes. I'm tired of it. I know I'm salty that Travis Kelce got her because she's beautiful to me. Yeah, I'm salty she got her. But I mean, still, I still don't want to see her on the TV screen every 5 minutes. But ultimately, after a few games, I kind of got over it. It wasn't that big of a deal. You know what I'm saying? I just watched the game. You know, she's an afterthought. And then, okay, a clip of her dancing. I don't know if they were swag surfing or what. a clip of her dancing went viral. Dancing with the Chief fan went viral, and some big names complained about it. It might have been before that clip, but some big names, maybe some politicians, start complaining about Taylor Swift, and then the topic of her being shown in NFL games start coming up again. And I'm like, and it's even a bigger discussion this time. And all I see on the axe is just women defending her. And some guys too, but a lot of women defending her, especially my sports ladies, you know, they were defending her and saying it's not that big of a deal, that we should get over it. And saying that us, a lot of guys or people who do have a problem with the NFL showing her a lot, are insecure and stuff. I guess that could be true, but, you know, I'm starting to take their side now. I'm like, all right, this is getting out of hand. It really isn't that big of a deal now. Like, I did have a problem with it at first, but now I'm just like, it is what it is. Like, I don't care anymore. Like, matter of fact, the people who are really, really mad about it, I hope y'all keep showing it. Hope y'all keep showing Taylor Swift just to make them mad at this point, because it's just not that serious anymore. Like, it was at first, but seriously, we're in the playoffs now. I'm focused on seeing what the Chiefs are going to do in these matchups. They played the Dolphins. That was a contrast style. And now they're playing against the Bills. And every time the Chiefs play the Bills, it is fireworks. It is flame. It is fire. It is lit. And it's too bad that I can't watch it. I will most likely have to work. It's too bad I won't get to watch it. We'll see. I say that now, but we'll see. But as of now, I'm probably not going to be able to watch it. And that's a shame. It's just adulting. You see what happens when you have to adult and you have to pay bills and you're behind on stuff. And you know what I'm saying? You gotta make it do what it do. Sometimes you got to make sacrifices. And I guess I'm going to have to sacrifice this game. We'll see. I don't know. I say that now, but we'll see. Anything can happen. But I'm excited for this game. I don't care how many times they show Taylor Swift. I don't know if she's going to Buffalo. I don't see why not. It's going to be a great game. If you can get over the cold. It was colder in Kansas City. Now, you got to deal with the snow in Buffalo. But it was colder in Kansas City. And she was out there supporting Travis Kelce and the Chiefs anyway. So she could definitely go to Buffalo. No problem. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm rooting for the Bills because I just think this is a Jordan and the Pistons thing. I hate to say it. Early 2000s Tampa Bay versus the Eagles, or the Eagles themselves in the conference championship. I love to see good teams get over the hump, like Michigan. They just did it. You know, they kept knocking at the door. You know, they kept losing to Ohio State. They kept losing in the playoffs before the championship. Then they finally got to the championship and they won. And I was just so happy for them. They finally got over the hump. I like to see teams get over the hump, especially if I don't have a problem with them, if they're not like my favorite team's rivals or anything like that. Then I love to see them get over the hump. And it should be no different with the Bills. Now, hopefully they do get over the hump and they do get to play Baltimore. I assume Baltimore, but it'll be even cooler. I don't know. I mean, a Ravens-Bills matchup has the potential to be amazing, but who's to say that the Texans and the type of story they'd be if they upset the Ravens, who's to say they wouldn't be a great matchup for the Bills in Buffalo? That would be great too. I wouldn't mind. That's assuming Buffalo wins. I would love to see it. But yeah, man, what a show. I'm glad I split it up into two parts or into two episodes. GoatLevelTees.com for all things Goat Level. Check out the TikTok. Well, you can check out my personal TikTok, Goat Level Van, or the new Goat Level TikTok, Goat Level Brand 18, I believe. Check us out on Instagram, Goat Level Brand. Twitter, the X, Level Goat. GoatLevelTees.com, man. You already know. Hey, greatness is what we do. Greatness is what you do. But you already know that I'm out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Goat Level Podcast. Make sure you share, subscribe, and get money.